Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm Monty Larrick. With me is David Smith, the Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute and Illinois Family Action. We're joined by Ralph Rivera, a pro-life lobbyist in Springfield with Illinois Right to Life Action and a lobbyist for Illinois Family Institute.
Yeah.
State lawmakers getting back to work for their spring session. Ralph, surely they won't let the March primary get in the way of doing the work of the people.
Oh, they already are. The schedule is that the House is out for, I think, 3 weeks, and the Senate's out. No, reverse it. House is out for 4 weeks, and the Senate's out for 3 weeks. Senate's less worried about
it. Kind of conflicted about it, right? Because we're paying these guys, but at the same time, if they're not down there, they're not causing any problems.
That's right. Well, as a lobbyist, it kind of helps me because
sure.
I can focus on the elections. We've got voter guides. And so if you tell me I don't have to be down there and I can be doing that work, that's a big help.
Yeah, trying to help the good guys get elected or reelected.
And Dave, when you talk about they're not hurting us.
Right.
Tell us, how many bills are typically introduced
goodness.
In a given year?
Well, last year alone, which was the first half of the two-year session,
were
something like 6,500 bills.
Something like that. So it would be less than that.
Sure.
But
because they're not there.
That's right. It'll be thousands of bills.
So we can almost assured for 10,000 new bills every single session, right?
Every single 2 years.
Every 2 years, which one session is 2 years, yes. So just to make that clear. So that's all, you know, that's bigger government, more spending, you know, more regulation.
So the bulk of the bills are bad.
Absolutely. Well, wouldn't you say that? Most of them are increasing the size of government.
Right.
And if you listen to Dennis Prager, you know, a wonderful radio talk show host, he says as you give more power to the government, individual liberties reduce. You know, he says bigger the government, the smaller the citizen. And that's true.
Right.
But Ralph, will election year politics kind of dictate what these lawmakers do and don't do?
Yes. At times they do. There are some bills they don't want to deal with until after an election.
Right.
And I hear that a lot. They say they don't want to deal with these controversial bills. But they do. It's not like, oh, we're safe. No, they do that. But I'm also told sometimes they'll wait. They don't want that, especially if their incumbents have an opponent. They don't want to have that situation until after the primary or after the November election.
Well, let's just make sure that the listeners understand that we have a primary election on March 20th coming up. Early voting starts as early as February 8th that you can apply for and go vote in certain areas.
Wow, February 8th.
That sounds almost too liberal, okay? Yeah. That's like 50 days before the actual election. That's ridiculous. All right, anyway, that's the reality of what we're dealing with. We've got a huge window where people can vote. So you don't have an excuse, actually. With that kind of window, you can vote by mail, you can vote in person, you can vote early. So there's no excuse. But then after the primary election, we have the November election, which is the general election. But we're talking about the primary right now. It's coming up, and there's not going to be probably not going to be any controversial bills voted on before the primary election in Springfield.
That's correct. Because they're not going to be in as much. We're going to be talking about some bills, but right after March 20th, then things will start to kick
up. Well, the last couple of years have been kind of painful for the pro-life community, hasn't it? Because
Absolutely.
Of some very bad pieces of legislation that have been passed and signed into law by Governor Bruce Rauner, including House Bill 40, which is the Medicaid taxpayer funding of abortion in Illinois. Peter Breen with the Thomas More Society, who also happens to be a state representative from Lombard, has filed a lawsuit. Along with Illinois Right to Life and a bunch of other pro-life organizations in the state, asking for this law to be.
They have a couple of points on this. One of it is that There's no funding.
Delayed. That's the word I was looking
right.
for. They're, delayed.
They're not saying this is unconstitutional. What they're saying is that paying for it is unconstitutional because the General Assembly did not appropriate specific funds for something that could be $10 to $15 to $20 million or more. They should have had a funding level for that. And until
they
do,
come out of petty cash, can it?
You know, the way. And the second thing is the question of whether it, the way it passed, they're saying it is
procedurally wrong, right?
That's correct.
Well, the startup date, they're going after the startup date.
Startup date, is, they're saying those proponents of the bill say it's January 1st.
Right.
So it just.
It just went into law.
Went into law. But there's a procedural way you do these things, and we believe very clearly that they did not do that properly. So in passing, the question is, did it actually pass properly? Secondly, even if it passed in a certain way, then it would not go into effect till June 1st. Now, some people would say, what's the difference?
Right.
10,000 lives. That's
exactly
what the difference
right.
That are not paid for by taxpayers. And every life you save is important and significant.
If we were in Nazi Germany and during the 40s, and we were able to delay one of those train cars from going to Auschwitz in saving 10,000 lives in the process, we would do it.
Right.
And that's the whole impetus behind the pro-life community asking for this law to be delayed until June 1st. Tens of thousands of babies who would otherwise be aborted would have a chance at life.
The other night, the Senate sponsor of House Bill 40 was on television and was asked about the cost. She said, there's no cost.
Well,
no how can you create a bill that
right.
gives free abortions for those women on Medicaid,
right.
and you say there is zero increase? I mean, this is what we see in Springfield. They're not telling the truth. They evade. They just say, no, it doesn't affect this or doesn't affect that, doesn't cost a penny more. How could anyone believe that giving free
abortions
costs nothing?
Right.
Well, we know it does cost human life.
Human life.
Yeah.
That alone.
But clarify this for me. We have the federal Hyde Amendment.
Right.
That bans taxpayer funding of abortions. So how can Illinois circumvent that?
Because the Hyde Amendment says we will not pay for abortions other than life of the mother. And there have been two court cases and they have the rape incest in the Hyde Amendment. And then there's an Illinois court case. Well, even the Illinois court case talking about health, which is so broadly undefined, but currently the Hyde Amendment has not paid for this health exception for the years that it's been in effect. But now they will absolutely not pay for elective abortions, and that's what's left. I mean, if you have life, health, rape, and incest, what other abortions are left except any reason? And that's going to be paid for by tax dollars throughout the state.
So does Illinois become the abortion capital of the Midwest?
Yes, because there are other, there are all kinds of ways dealing with Medicaid that you can go around this. You know that if a woman is pregnant in Illinois, whether she's legal or not legal, whether she's, she could just kind of be coming through the state, there's a presumptively eligible position for her.
Right.
She says, well, I don't have enough money. So all you have to do is to have some woman from Indiana come here and say, I kind of plan to live here, and she can get that abortion paid for by the state,
yep.
and then go back to Indiana.
I was going to ask you about that because Indiana, Missouri, Kentucky, they all have pretty strict abortion rules, right?
Right.
So what is to stop a woman coming over, a teenager coming over with her 20, 30-year-old boyfriend coming up here and getting a Medicaid abortion with that presumption saying, well, we plan on living here? Nothing, right? Nothing could – I mean, they'd happily do it, wouldn't they?
That's right. You have to keep in mind residency is not based on the amount of time you've lived here. It is the intent.
Okay.
And so when you say to somebody of a government official, I intend to live here, even if you just walked in the state, that establish his residence.
Well, we need to ask our listeners to please pray that the Thomas More Society is successful in getting this delayed until June. And maybe we can wake up enough voters and we get another pro-life. How many pro-life votes did we need in the House to stop this bill?
Three.
So if we could just get three, four, let's go for five more pro-life voters, lawmakers in the House, we'd be able to stop these kind of disastrous, heinous bills from going forward.
That's right. And that applies to the pro-family legislation, which
absolutely.
We'll talk about.
Well, let me ask you, too, about Senate Bill 1564. There's a lawsuit against that. That bill requires pro-life medical workers to give referrals to abortions to a woman who may be interested, to abortion facilities.
Right.
Where are we on that?
There have been a couple of lawsuits, but one of them does have a full injunction on the law.
So in other words, it stops the law from going into effect for the whole state.
That's correct. And so those crisis pregnancy centers, those medical doctors and nurses, they continue to be protected under the law.
And that bodes well for the future of the case.
They can keep as long as they want, as long as that injunction's on.
They can't enforce it.
Right.
But that injunction could be lifted.
That's correct. It's on there until a judge rules, makes the decision. But to give that injunction suggests the judge thought there's merit.
That's right.
And therefore—
The government coercing speech, I mean, come on, that's got to be unconstitutional. Now, California has a similar bill, legislation, that is now going before the Supreme Court. And that ruling, which could come back down in June of next year, of this year, actually, worse in 2018, could have an influence on this case, right?
That's correct, yeah.
So we need to pray for the justices of the Supreme Court that they will come down on the side of freedom of speech and not government-coerced speech.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. We will continue our conversation with Ralph Rivera after this.
Do you know that the time your children spend in school for 1 year is as much time as they will spend in church in over 5 years? Why would we want our children to be in a school that denies God and His truth? Christian Liberty Academy was founded in 1968 to provide a place that would affirm and strengthen what our children learn at home and in their churches. We have a great location in Arlington Heights, outstanding faculty and facilities, a strong biblical worldview emphasis, and an affordable tuition price compared to similar schools. We provide a comprehensive and accredited curriculum that will prepare your child for college and beyond. From preschool all the way through 12th grade, discover the positive difference that Christian Liberty Academy can make in their education and life. Schedule a personal tour today and get more information at ChristianLibertyAcademy.com or call 847-385-2013.
Thanks again for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Larrick here, joined by David Smith.
Yeah, hello.
A little slow on the trigger there, Dave.
Well, I don't usually do it both times.
And Ralph Rivera from Illinois Right to Life Action, a lobbyist in Springfield for the pro-life cause, and also a lobbyist for Illinois Family Institute. Ralph, before we took a break, we were talking about House Bill 40 and how this will make Illinois really the abortion capital of the Midwest. But Illinois is now a sanctuary state. And will that mean that folks who come here illegally, women who come here illegally, will be able to get a taxpayer-funded abortion in Illinois?
I'm not sure whether the sanctuary law applies there, but it is known that if a woman is pregnant in Illinois, whether she is here legally or not, that would qualify
for... They qualify for Medicaid funds, right?
Under those situations only. No, okay. I don't know that. I don't know whether they qualify. But if the woman's pregnant, it's because of the child. Always interesting, isn't that? It's because of the child that then you would be covered under Medicaid for that pregnancy.
Wow, such hypocrisy.
Yeah, I've forgotten whether someone who's not here... I don't think if they're here legally, they can get Medicaid.
Interesting. Well, what do you think... is coming up in this session that's going to start later later this month in January.
Mm-hmm.
We've been fighting the ERA, for example,
right,
for all of 2017. They're dangerously close in getting the votes they need to pass this legislation. And just give us a little sketch of what's the main concerns with ERA and why are we fighting it?
Well, this is a so-called Equal Rights Amendment.
Right.
And for people who are listening, if you're old enough, you remember the battle in the 70s and early 80s around this country,
right,
and especially in Illinois.
Right. Phyllis Schlafly led the charge as a woman opposing the ERA,
right,
with Eagle Forum.
Your big concern as a pro-life activist is that the ERA will expand abortion,
right,
in Illinois.
Oh, very clearly that. There have been a couple of states' courts. New Mexico's Supreme Court, their top court, ruled that their state ERA, which is virtually identical in language to this particular resolution, required that their state pay for abortions under Medicaid. The Connecticut court, lower court, said the same thing, and Connecticut has a state ERA, and no higher court has challenged that, or I guess they haven't taken it up. And so both of those states pay for abortions through judicial decree. And so we believe that the ERA would force this for every state in the union, and the Hyde Amendment would fall. You would have to pay for abortions,
wow,
for any reason,
wow,
under Medicaid.
That's pretty bad enough. One of the other concerns I have as a father of two daughters is that it would eliminate gender distinctions and require my daughters, once they turn 18, to register for the Selective Service, or the draft, as it's also called. And I am vehemently opposed to having my daughters be required to register for armed services. That's just beyond the pale. But one thing that we need to point out before we move on to other things is that the ERA does not mention, it's one sentence long, or is it two sentences? I can't remember.
Just a basic thing.
It's
is
a basic
one sentence
amendment to the U.S. Constitution, but it doesn't mention male or female or a woman in it. So while the left likes to say this is equal rights for women, it doesn't even mention women in the language of the amendment. So
that's right. And, you know, keep in mind, people listening, they'd say, well, gee, what's wrong with that? Don't you want to?
Right.
And so they push, oh, this is equal pay for women. You know, back in the 70s, women did not get equal pay.
Right.
Since then,
right,
there have been state laws here, federal laws, that mandate that you have equal pay for women on the same specific job. So for someone to say we need this constitutional,
right,
amendment, no, you don't.
By the way, on the equal pay front, Barack Obama passed or signed and had a big ceremony signing a bill into law mandating equal pay for equal work. So, I mean, that's already there. It's already established. And even before that, I would argue that there were protections. And secondly, our Constitution, the 14th Amendment, already guarantees equal protection under the law.
Right.
Equal protection. It's not equal rights. It's equal protection. And I think that is an important distinction to be made.
It is. And that has been pointed out because we have not seen under our Equal Protection Clause an abuse,
right,
of that.
Right.
Right.
All right.
Well, I thought that, you know, Illinois already has its own version of the Equal Rights Amendment. So at issue here is ratification of the federal,
right,
Equal Rights Amendment, right?
We do not have a state ERA like we saw, as I mentioned, in New Mexico or Connecticut. We have an Equal Protection Clause, and there is a distinction. There,
okay,
is a difference.
Okay.
And to be clear, we're not objecting to equal protection.
Not at all.
Everybody should have equal protection,
exactly,
under
that,
the law.
Exactly that. But
would that include Christians?
I would hope so.
But when you get into right, you get into things like, and this is not the place for discussion, but when you talk about rights, do you're saying that you have to ignore gender? Because there are some things like bathrooms.
That's right.
That you want, not somebody's right to male to go into a female and
that's
vice,
right,
versa. Those aren't rights that we want to give to people.
That's right.
There's a separation of gender.
That's right. My daughters and my wife have a right to privacy in the bathroom. They don't males who are confused don't have a right to invade that privacy.
That's correct.
Well, why now? Why are they pushing the Equal Rights Amendment here in Illinois at this point in time? Is it to drive up the vote in November?
Oh, I think this has been the case. We have seen the ERA introduced over the past few years, specifically with the election in mind. In other words, to say about Republicans, oh, there's a war on women. But it's interesting that many women I know and work with are totally opposed to the ERA. So that's not my board is opposed to the ERA. I got a lot of women on board.
Absolutely.
So
yeah, but your board, they're knowledgeable folks, and to the vast majority of folks out there
who are only listening to sound bites.
Yeah. Yeah. They think, oh, yeah, this is a good thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So how do we get around that? You know, what do we need to do?
Well, you do have to educate because
that's
young
right.
people say, huh? I don't get that.
Right.
And I'm not blaming young people. 30-year-olds say, huh?
Right.
They don't know
young.
What that is. And, you know, the ERA has been around, been introduced every 2 years, and
that's
it just kind of languishes. And so a lot of people don't hear about it unless somebody makes a squawk about it.
Right.
And we're making a squawk about it.
So, Ralph, what else is on your radar screen? What are you concerned about? What other legislation may be coming up that we need to be aware of?
Well, I don't know. I just have, as you say, concerns.
Suspicions.
Right. Now that they've won House Bill 40,
they've
had some other wins, although one of them's in court. I fear that they'll go after crisis pregnancy centers or try to repeal parental notice.
Yeah.
And we're also concerned about there's a work out there about physician-assisted suicide. There's a movement to allow
sure.
for.
We see it in other states.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so.
And of course, they call it death with dignity
right.
or death with compassion. So if you're dying of cancer or some other terrible disease, you can opt out. Basically.
That's about it.
Well, I think their talking point would be something along the line. Compassionate Health Care Equality Act,
right.
something along that line.
And why are Christians concerned about this?
Well, because, for a number of
reasons.
Our body is the temple of the Lord.
That's right.
And so, therefore, we can't just choose to let ourselves die. When someone tells me, I have to say, we're not giving them food and fluids.
Right.
You tell me what person listening to this can go without food and fluids. let's say 40 days.
Right, right.
And think you're going to be in good health.
No.
You'll do yourself in. So to say, they just don't want to do it because what? It's going through a simple tube?
Right. I would say also as pro-lifers that we believe honestly that God is the author of life. He's the only one who can tell us when that life concludes,
right.
at least this earthly life.
Right.
And as Christians, we know that God works through all kinds of situations for our own sanctification,
right.
as well as for those maybe around us. So you don't know. I mean, I had a good friend who passed away from bone cancer. And what God was doing in his life and his family's life may never fully be known, at least, to us as just, simple observers. But spiritually, we don't know what was done through that. So God uses those kind of circumstances and pain and suffering for our good, whether we acknowledge it or not.
That's right. And, pain is certainly, no one wants pain for a loved one.
Right.
But there are
right.
lots
of options to minimize pain. Let me ask you, too, though. Another one of our concerns on this front is the slippery slope, right? I mean, the fact is, you start with hard cases of suicide
right.
where you're helping people out. Then it expands to those who may be just disabled or maybe have a birth defect or maybe, depressed.
Right.
The slippery slope gets wider and wider. We've seen that happen with other legislation. For example, medical marijuana in Illinois, they started with just a few diagnoses saying, here, this is what we're going to allow medical marijuana be used for, and every legislative session they add on to it and say, right. "Oh, well, let's open it up. Here's another diagnosis. Here's another diagnosis. Here's another." So the slippery slope. I mean, that's something to be concerned about, isn't it?
Oh, it is. Dealing with medical marijuana when this finally passed after fighting it for decades. Really.
That's right.
They had about 20, I guess, situations or conditions by which you could get medical marijuana.
Yeah.
And then you know what? The sponsor of the bill said, we have to add more. And you know why? Because those who are cultivating marijuana, dispensing marijuana, say they're not making enough money. So we got to. They have to expand the list of those who qualify. Now, how is that dealing with the patient? Dealing with the patient?
Well, that's what you get when you get a bunch of politicians playing doctor and pharmacist.
Yeah, and you know what the answer was? Well, we owe it to them because they thought they'd make a lot of money, and since they're not. You know, that's called free enterprise, if you want to tell.
Hello.
Hey, it didn't work for you? Too bad, buddy. You know,
that's right.
I mean, really.
But, you know, when it comes to assisted suicide, they're going to say, well, if we'll be able to reduce the health care
costs.
Yep. And that will allow more funding to go for those who really do have a chance for survival and will allow those dollars to go into research and what have you, that could save lives. And you don't understand the arguments they're going to use.
And that's the biggest slippery slope.
Sure.
Once you, then you go to quality of life.
Good.
And you say, well, you know, we don't think your life
exactly.
is that good. How about the poor? We don't think your life is that.
A 75-year-old woman maybe needing a bypass surgery. They say, well, you know, this is going to cost a lot of money. It's going to take you a long time to recover. You're only going to get another 5 years out of this. Right. So, you know, here's the assisted suicide route.
That's, or as simple as giving antibiotics to the 75-year-old woman. She's got an infection. You want to give her the antibiotics.
Right.
What's wrong with that? Well, because all you're going to do is bring her right back to only
right.
giving her 5 years anyway.
That's right.
So that's where it's a slippery. I hope people realize this. This is not a theoretical thing. The Netherlands are doing this. You're seeing
right.
this in other countries.
Yep.
Ralph, is there a bill number for assisted suicide anything yet?
No, and I hope not. It's, I'm just telling you, I know I've seen a draft out there, so I know they're thinking about it, but I have not seen a bill yet, and I keep expecting it to come.
Illinois will be considering this in the near future, but we'll see. There's a lot of things on their plate right now, but front and center is the election. So maybe after this election cycle in 2019, we may see that bill come forward.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us here on Illinois Family Spotlight. Our special guest has been Ralph Rivera with Illinois Right to Life Action and a lobbyist for Illinois Family Institute. Till next time, God bless.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.